With Rose Scott, I'm Dennis O'Hare. Today wraps up the first annual World Summit to End Human Trafficking. Human trafficking, of course, an issue we have covered extensively here at 90.1 WABE. This summit takes place at the Carter Center. Groups representing 9 different countries are on hand. The overall goal is to interact and share knowledge and resources and try to put together actual workable strategies to end the sexual exploitation industry.
And Dennis, as you know, that's been an ongoing campaign here in Georgia and especially here in the Atlanta area. And for the first time, there's a study of a different kind. It's called Adolescent Males in Metro Atlanta Sex Trade and Their Buyers. It estimates the number of young males, including adolescents under age 18, involved in the Metro Atlanta sex trade. And before we continue, we want to let everyone know that perhaps this next segment may not be suitable for all, so we encourage you to use your own discretion. Dr. Alex Trouteau was the principal investigator of that study, and he's the newly named executive director of YouthSpark. That's an organization we've talked to on many occasions that works to end sex trafficking through prevention and education. And Jennifer Swain, who has been on this program a number of times, is the deputy program director. Thank you both for taking the time.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
Thanks.
Alex, I want to start with you. Give us a snapshot of what this research revealed.
Well, our goal was twofold. One was to get a hard number on the number of adolescent males involved in the sex trade in Metro Atlanta. And then number two, to better understand a little bit about the why. And so for the number, I mean, it's I'm not sure what people expect going in. I wasn't sure what I expected going in, but we estimate about 50 kids a month, 50 boys a month involved in the Metro Atlanta sex trade. And that's entirely actually measured through online solicitation. So that's not street level activity.
How were those findings gathered? You mentioned online, so I imagine that the internet was involved in this.
It was, and you know, when you're measuring underground criminal activity, you have to be really creative with how you do your work. And one of the things that has vexed human trafficking advocates for years, since the start, is really what size of a problem are we dealing with? So we looked to, first we took a lay of the land and said, you know, what does it actually look like when you go online and look for people who are available for purchase? And one of the things we noticed that was ended up being a good opportunity for us is that the buyers themselves, you can call them Johns, you can call them buyers, whatever you want, that they actually are the ones who very often are putting ads out there saying, here's what I'm looking for. And we realized that was an opportunity for us. So we as researchers very systematically created a bunch of different profiles as if we were a bunch of different buyers. And then we let the people who were in the sex trade approach us through those ads.
By clicking on the ads through the internet?
Yes, through internet ads, whether that's on classified websites, Backpage, Craigslist, or through mobile apps, or through other sort of niche vertical, quote-unquote, dating websites.
This question is for both of you because it's the next step in what the transaction would be. You have to get the buyer, if you will, and the young sex trade victim together. So is there a way to either estimate the extent of the trade and then to attack it by going after how they're transported?
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about it through the lens of transported, although I'll tell you that transportation is often a topic of conversation as the transaction is getting ready to occur. You know, who can drive? I mean, frankly, that's one of the things you learn early on when you're dealing with younger people in the sex trade is very often they aren't old enough to have a driver's license. So that does come up. Age gets discussed pretty readily if you want to discuss that with the individual. So you've got to have some really strict ethical guidelines with how you're conducting the research.
Yeah. And Jennifer Swain, one of the questions about this then is because of some of what we just talked about, it's really difficult to get an accurate estimate of the data, even with a new study like this. So does this give us any clue as to the extent of the problem or where it's happening perhaps more than in other places?
I think this is definitely a great start. This is a way to start the conversation. And with all research methodologies, you typically have to figure out where to begin and build something so that you can go from there and improve it as we move along. But I think this is really one of the first of its kind study for how it's affecting males here in Georgia, not nationally. So it really will begin to help us shape the conversation on, number one, what we can do to get the information out there to those who may be able to identify them best. But secondly, how better can we capture information so that we can begin to count them and identify them quicker?
Alex, I want to ask you about the sort of the information in terms of where the prospective buyers were, the clicks, if you will. Mm-hmm. Were they all in Georgia? Did they all come from Georgia? Or you're laughing.
This was an eye-opening experience for me. And I've been doing research on this issue for the better part of a decade now. And it's the first time I'd seen anything like this. So one of the other things that we did is we created a couple of online ads posing as young males ourselves. And we created a link inside those ads that we wanted to see if a prospective buyer would click on it. And in doing that, we would actually be able to identify the IP address and an approximate location of where that click happened. And we put one ad up, and in over a couple of days, we had over 250 different people clicking on that one ad. And what was most shocking about it, I mean, it confirmed what we've known all along, which is this is not a problem inside the perimeter. This
Sure.
is a problem throughout the metro region. But then we had clicks coming from Macon, coming from Statesboro, coming from way up near the Chattahoochee National Forest. And then when you zoom out even further, we had clicks in L.A., clicks in New York, clicks in Hawaii.
So, and in order for in those clicks, they would have to first come to the Atlantic region and then click specifically.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it conclusive, though, that they were particularly looking for purchasing sex with a minor boy?
No, it's
okay.
Not conclusive at all. And I would suggest to most folks that an honest discussion about the age of the individual about to be purchased does not typically happen before a transaction happens in the real world. So, which is one of the major challenges. You can't, on the one hand, say that it's okay to have a thriving sex trade, but then on the other hand say, yeah, but kids can't ever get in it, because they do and they will, period, end of story.
Let's pursue that, because I think what we're hearing is that the conversations between the person who's trafficking the young people and the potential customer, they're pretty vague. They don't always get specific about age or anything like that. You know, they'll use code words, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everybody knows that buying sex with a child is illegal, even though we should all know that buying sex, period, is illegal. So there's always this willful ignorance around that conversation of age and what you're truly asking for. And if you know from my previous research on the demand side, the Georgia demand study, it also states at that time that most men who click on ads seeking to purchase sex from adolescent girls, they don't necessarily specifically ask for an underage girl. They want something very young. And we know that ads that promote very young girls or that promote very young services, they tend to get more clicks than the others.
Is the advertising for sex trade involving boys any different, even more surreptitious than the ads for girls?
Actually, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. The ads for boys and the ads for buyers of boys are far more blatant. It reminds me a lot of what the online market used to look like for girls, 5-10 years ago.
Let me ask you all this, because for years I've read and heard people say, well, there's this stigma attached to the boys for a lot of reasons. And Alex, I'm going to ask you this, because you've been focused on this as a principal investigator. Is this enough now to say that there needs to be additional resources and there needs to be even more data specifically focusing on boys? I'll start with you.
More resources for sure, because we're simply not, even if we had resources available to us, we don't have the know-how, the community know-how behind it to act on those resources. And that's one of the things that Youth Spark is trying to develop right now. But frankly, we do need more research, because we're not just talking about, you can get victimized by trafficking, not just in the professionalized sex trade, but also in street-based survival sex. And so we've got a research project coming up with Emory and with Georgia State and Morehouse here over the summer to look at trafficking of kids who are homeless and runaway youth as well, too.
Jennifer, with that information now, you work a lot with young girls. Will you now have a program to try to reach the boys too, to bring them in into these discussions and council groups?
Well, I don't know that Youth Spark is going to be the best fit for that program, but what I think that we can definitely do is begin to create a model. We've been able to intervene earlier with our partnership with the Fulton County Juvenile Court and reach these girls earlier and intervene. And I think one of the things that we can do now, knowing concrete information on how young boys are being exploited, we can take the same model and implement that into community-based programs, into those organizations who are already working with this population.
And real quickly, we're very short of time. Quick yes or no on this. Are we seeing law enforcement, which is beginning to take a more, if you will, understanding approach to underage girls in the sex trade, not prosecuting them, for instance, are we seeing the same approach with boys, or is there a difference in how law enforcement approaches them?
They want to get there, but we've got a ways to go, but they definitely want to get there with us.
Dr. Alex Trouteau, who is the principal investigator of the study and newly named executive director of Youth Spark, and Jennifer Swain, the deputy program director of Youth Spark. Thank you all for coming in and taking the time and revealing this new information. This is the first time in Georgia, correct?
Correct.
Thank you both.
Thank you guys for having us.